Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's June 7th, 2013. And before I introduce our special guest, who's turning into a couch potato, and I'll explain that in just a second. If you're tuned in yesterday to Joey Kroll's program, you heard him talk about this past weekend. He went to Atlanta and saw Charles Stanley preach. And Charles Stanley has ministered to Joey over the years, and he's so appreciated what Dr. Stanley has stood for. But as he mentioned yesterday, Dr. Stanley is getting older, and when he preached this past Sunday, he literally preached sitting down. Jason, are you at that point? Are you going to be sitting down this Sunday when you preach?
No, I definitely won't sit down when I preach, but that's been where I've been for the entire week. I woke up on Tuesday morning for no reason. The back of my heel was, I guess you could say, enthrobbed, and I haven't been able to walk on it. So I've just been elevating it, icing it. What do they call that, rice, where you ice it, you elevate it, you use compression, and I forget what the other one is, rest. Yeah, rest. So I've been resting. But, yeah, that's been my week so far. I've written a couple sermons, read a lot of books, and done way too much blog posting.
Yeah, but I think you've been also experiencing God in some new ways through prayer and through extended times of prayer and worship.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of prayer, praying, God, would you heal this, and God, will you meet me in this and take care of it? And I think it was Tuesday night. Tuesday night I had a really tough time sleeping because just trying to get it comfortable and with the ice and it was throbbing. I ended up reading probably about one-third of the Gospels. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and I read about a quarter of John. Hmm. And so we, from one end to the other. Now, this was not like, you know, deep reading, but read a lot of the Gospels. And then in a lot of other moments, just a lot of prayer, a lot of time where I'm just sitting here going, Lord, I want to get up. And I really felt this morning, and I even made it a Facebook post, I really felt God say, you can get up via your prayers, that even though you can't walk, your prayers can still run. Your prayers are in no way constrained, you know, and so you don't have to be mobile to be effective, that your prayers can be wholly effective and you cannot move a muscle. And so it's been kind of a learning curve for me that my prayers can go out faster and farther, even in this time right now, than I could ever have dreamed or imagined. So it's given me a lot of time to pray for people, a lot of time to intercede for people, and a lot of time to spend in God's Word. So.
I know I text you earlier, do you need me to come and pick you up? Because for literally 4.5 days, we've not had phone service here, and that's why on Wednesday I was going to call you up, and we planned on just doing the program over the phone. Well, the phone wasn't working on Thursday, and finally, I guess they might have restored it mid-afternoon yesterday into the early evening, so I was able to dial you up this morning, and I appreciate God for the technology to enable us to talk and touch base. And I think we might shy away from Acts because you don't have all your notes, and it's kind of nice to be right here in the studio with you talking through the unique ways Luke has penned that book under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But there's a lot of different updates that I want to run by you. Have you eaten at the ribeye lately?
No, I haven't eaten at the ribeye.
Oh, well, I had a great outing last night with John and Lois Elder. Great getting caught up with friends like that and sharing and seeing what God's doing in their lives. And that was wonderful. And before I went and met up with them, I went by Farm and Fleet and I got my first boat motor.
Oh, wow.
One of those little ones, under $200. You know how my floating dock kind of was on life support?
Yeah, you sent a picture of that.
Yeah, I had a little montage. Well, basically, I'll give the short narrative of that story. The rivers, because of all the rain the last few weeks, was really high. It was about 10 or 12 feet. Sometimes it averages around 2 or 3 feet, but it was way up there, no problem. Well, I don't know if lightning struck or what, but the tree across the river, which is a good 20 or 30, I don't know, yards. I mean, it's many feet across. Well, this humongous tree fell, and luckily it didn't hit the dock, but it fell into the water about 5 feet upstream from my floating dock, which then caused it to float right into the dock, which caused some of this humongous tree to pin underneath the floating dock. Anyways, with all that said, as the waters finally receded, the barrels that keep the dock floating, because the dock was extended into the air, these barrels started floating off. I'd never attached them.
Oh my gosh.
I let the weight of the duck keep the barrels in the water? Well, anyways, so on Wednesday, I literally got the canoe, because my kayaks, I couldn't get barrels onto them, so I got the canoe, which is harder to maneuver through the Sangamon River, and it's still flowing pretty quick. I paddled downstream, or floated for the most part, and I luckily, thank you God, I found two of the barrels, was able to get them finally hoisted into the canoe, and you know how easily those are to tip, and when you're trying to put something into it and lift it up, and it's a 55-gallon drum, it's not really easy. Anyways, got it. Finally, with all the energy I had left, I got back to the floating dock and then put them onto the shoreline while I luckily had three other barrels that I had sealed some years ago. So I had basically I had the five that I needed to replace and put back into the dock. And so Mark Barak came over Wednesday night and we have them all strapped in, but the floating dock is in such a way, this precarious angle, that it's stuck. Now that the water has receded 4 feet, it's stuck like 6 feet up in the air.
And, oh, my gosh.
And the poles didn't bend, but they're at an angle where, because of how the dock is bolted to the poles, it's kind of snagged. And so I got to figure out maybe tomorrow or maybe later today, some kind of pulley system to get the front of the dock that's still in the water lifted up so it'll balance, and then hopefully the dock will then fall back down into the water. I've probably confused everyone, and I don't know if you can picture that, but this floating dock is like if you stood on the base of the dock, you would have to climb like a triangle way uphill. Well, anyways, it's suspended in the air, and I'm hoping it doesn't bust out of the U-bolts that clamp it to these poles. And these poles are...
So the Loch Ness Monster did it.
Yeah, that was a great posting. But anyways, back to the story. So after canoeing downstream and then having to paddle up to get these barrels, there's still three barrels floating somewhere downstream in the Sangamon. And I thought, do I have to paddle again? And then I know these next ones are much further downstream. I saw an ad in Thursday's News Gazette that had these motor engines, these real small ones for like little fishing boats or like a little, I don't know if you go trolling. And I thought, because I have this little boat, besides my canoe and three kayaks, I have this boat. And so I think I'm going to use that motor now. And there's an electric and a gas one, so I can kind of go downstream, find these barrels, and then just putter along with my little engine. So I'm kind of excited to try that out this weekend.
Nice. Well, now you get your barrels back.
Yeah, get my barrels back. But I'm going to have a fleet of, you know, you can come and you can canoe, you can kayak, and you can even take out my motorboat. So I've spent some hours in the yard the last few days as I was trying to attend to that and got a new weed whacker. So my nature trail on the right side is good to go. Just need to get some new mulch spread. And I think I picked up about 10,000 sticks. I think I had constant burning piles, campfires going for about three straight days.
Wow.
So I'm waiting for you to come here so you can see the state park. I have it in state park condition.
I think I had to buy one of those one of those little booklets where you stamp it and it says, I've been to your park.
Yeah. Actually, I'll have little stages, like the nature trail, you'll get a stamp. When you climb up into the tree fort, you'll get a stamp. When you get onto the floating dock, well, at this point, you're probably too dangerous to do that. But, I'll have a whole series. I'll have to have a little passport to the Burns B&B or something.
Well, I'm all about capitalism, so where are you going to put the gift shop?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, speaking of news, well, I don't know. I'm speaking of news. I saw a posting the other day about the gender of the new Schiffo that's going to be born months?
Yeah, late October, 27th, 28th is the due date.
So June, July, August, September. Oh, that's 5 months.
Yeah, 5 months, and baby Schiffo will be a boy.
Wow. Have you worked on names yet?
Yeah. You know what? I told everybody I kind of got my foot down pretty firm on the name because there's a name that I want our boy to have. And so the deal that we've got is either I get to name the boy what I would like to name the boy, or we'll just have some more boys.
Yes. And to which Tasha's reply was...
Let me just tell you that including this time right now, because I'm on the phone and in my living room and my wife is sitting next to me, that every time I make that statement, she has a look of concession on her face. Yeah. Like, yeah. There's no way any more babies are happening.
Wow. So are you ready to share that potential name?
Not yet. I think we're still jockeying on the middle name, because we like to give it all at one time. But the first name, that's the one that I'm kind of... I don't know what you want to say. I'm not flexible at all on that one, my dear.
And it's not going to be Eitan, huh? Eitan and I were kind of the first two that were kind of predicting we had a pregnancy here.
Yeah, that's right. He said that in Israel, and everybody knew in Israel, but us. It was crazy.
Wow, that's classic. So for our listeners that are tuned in right now, we have Jason Schiffel with us, but it's a little different. Typically, he's on the Wednesday and Friday edition. He's here in the studio, but because of his foot being injured and not getting out, he's home. So what? Are you like the lazy boy or on the couch? And so what?
No, I'm on the couch with my foot up on the coffee table, and I've got the remote control next to me. I've got the iPad here. I've got a stack of books. My Bible, and I'm right in front of the TV, and so I'm almost feeling bad for how I've lapsed into comfort here in terms of, you know, I told Tasha, I said, well, you know what, like around noon, I like to rent a movie from iTunes and watch that. So I've got a whole schedule now that I've kind of following, but I don't know if it's good or not good or what, but I'll tell you what's been really fascinating in terms of this. I usually will log in and look at the news once a day, just really quick. I mean, I don't spend a lot of time watching the news at all. I'll just log in and look at a news website. But I've had like an opportunity to watch more news than I would care to admit that I was watching. And it's been kind of interesting to see all the political wranglings and just the way the different stations have different points of view. So that's been something that's been kind of eye-opening to me. I guess maybe because I just don't pay a lot of attention to the political stream. I mean, I count that God is in control, that God's in charge of everything, that, you know, I think the news and oftentimes is designed to evoke fear in us or evoke the sense of, like, what's next? Oh, my goodness. And we don't have to say, oh, my goodness, because God is in control. That God says that there is no fear but the fear of the Lord, you know, and that we should concentrate on our relationship with God, not on what, you know, these different people on the news media say. So that's been interesting for me because I'm watching it with a keen eye and saying I could see how people could be watching the news being coming very afraid, very fearful, wondering what's next, what will happen. And you know, as Christians, we already know what's going to happen. We just need to read towards the end of the book. I mean, as good astute Christians, we should have already read that and should know exactly what's going to happen. Put our faith that the Lord Jesus will come back as he said he would, and that at the culmination of all things, there'll be an invitation for each one of us, you know, to the eternal kingdom. So,
well, speaking of God's sovereignty and being in control, here's a beautiful arrangement by Chelly Ole, God is in Control.
When you're in a furnace of tribulation, you're in an ocean of fear and pain. When you face the heat of crucial decisions, when the tide is rising, when guilt
know, Mark, in terms of God being in control, there's a piece of scripture that I was reading yesterday morning, like I said, Tuesday overnight, read through about a third of the Gospels, and we're just really thinking about the things that Jesus said, especially when he said and he came to the fig tree. It says that he saw Jerusalem and he wept over Jerusalem. And I think that what Jesus was weeping over was the condition of Israel and Israel's heart. And yesterday morning, as I said, I was reading in Hosea. I picked some of the shorter minor prophets to read through because I knew if I, with the kids running around, if I got interrupted, it wouldn't be a big deal. I mean, they're short books. But it says in Hosea in chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Come, let us return to the Lord. He's torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He's injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, and we may live in his presence." And then it goes on to say, "Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth." And the title for this, if you've got, I've got an 84 NIV here, the title for this is Israel Unrepentant. And so taking this journey that I've been on, laying on the couch and trying to get better, watching the news and thinking about the way people interact with the news and thinking about our country and our faith and all those different things, this piece of scripture really spoke to me because it says Israel Unrepentant. And I think there are many of us who would think, and in terms of our own country, and say, are we largely as a country unrepentant? I mean, there's been a lot of prayer movements revolving around that passage in 2 Chronicles, which says, you know, if my people who are called by my name would turn back towards me and repent, would humble themselves. And that's the same thing that's happening. You know, come, let us return to the Lord. The Lord has torn us to pieces, but he'll heal us. And there, been a great sin that's gone through our land, and it has felt like, I think, for us as Christians, being torn to pieces. And yet the promise of Scripture is that God will heal us, that he'll bind up our wounds. And I love this because on the other side of the cross, where we are right now, we have the benefit of what the people in Hosea's time didn't have, and that's our knowledge of Jesus. Because it says here, after 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. That on that third day, we know that Jesus rose from the dead, that because of the power of the resurrection, because of the fact that the tomb is empty and we have an invitation to walk into the tomb and to see that Jesus is not there. I mean, that's the most powerful testimony that we have as far as Christians, right? I mean, most people would say, well, let me show you where Buddha's at, or let me show you where Muhammad is buried, or let me show you all these things. And we can't tell you where Jesus is buried. We can't show you the grave. We can speculate, but we can't show you it. You know why? Because he's not there. Hmm. The tomb is empty. Hmm. And what a great idea, what a great thought that the restoration for us as a people, the healing, the us being revived came through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then the passage goes on to say, well, then because of this, because of the resurrection, since then you've been raised with Christ, as Paul says in Colossians, let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. So let's not just acknowledge him and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Now there's a physical action here. Let us press into it. You know, and Paul says that in Philippians, doesn't he? He says, but I press on, taking hold of that which has taken hold of me in Christ Jesus. That the idea of the prophet Hosea is not that far disconnected from what Paul says in his journey of his own faith, that we have to press in to the culture, press into the world, press in, because we have been saved, revived by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it says, as surely as the sun rises, he'll appear. Every single day the sun comes up, Jesus will be here. Jesus is here. He has never left us. He's never forsaken us. And he's given us his great gift called the Holy Spirit to serve as a reminder, a powerful reminder, one who can work in and through us, that we can remind, we can be witnesses and remind the world who Jesus is. You know, so no matter how much bad news comes across our doorstep, we always hold fast, we press into the good news, because as surely as the sun rises and the sun sets, the good news stands firm, and we can stand in that same place. You know, I think maybe it's helpful for everybody. I did this, you know, I was sitting on the couch, and obviously I can't walk. I can kind of hobble, but I can't walk. And I was looking over, and my shoes were sitting by the door where I'm sitting on the couch. I can see my shoes. And I was thinking, boy, my shoes, almost in this moment when I look at my shoes are almost like victory. If I can get into those shoes and get out and walk, I would have victory. Hmm. And I think, you know what? We already have victory in Jesus. Jesus has already marked out a place for us to stand. that no matter where we're at and where we've been and what's happened, we can, by the power that Jesus, surely as the sun rises and the sun sets, we've been resurrected, revived, and we have victory.
Hmm. Thank you, Jason, for that good word. And I love, and I highlighted two of the verses you pointed out. Come, let us return to the Lord, and let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. And that's something that all of us from time to time need to return to the Lord. Actually, probably moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month. But acknowledging him in all that we do, inviting him and his spirit to work in and through us, and pressing into him so we can be empowered to do the work he's called us to do. So thank you for the good word. Thank you for being available on this, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. We'll be praying up your healing and hope that you'll be standing strong on Sunday. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend.